This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like all those guys are smiling all the time. I don't think smiling is the issue.
They love to smile. Smiling is their favorite.
Those guys are having a blast playing football.
Here is.
I don't know if the fans have the same reaction because they showed fans for the final 5 minutes of that game yesterday. Normally, I'm off to the red zone, but I had the tablet, so I had the two viewing situation set up in my home because I had to see the faces, and they showed every fan that was left in that stadium yesterday.
They did not look like they were thrilled. Nathan Zagura, he did not mince words yesterday at the end of that football game. Here's Nathan.
The division title is far, far away, but what you have to wonder as you look out on the field right now, Andrew, is how many guys out there have played their last snap for the Cleveland Browns. You have got to be sellers in the trade market at the trade deadline, which is coming up, and we will see what ultimately will happen here.
That's Nathan. And it's hard to disagree with him. I mean, Lord, I think everybody agrees with him. Like, you have to focus on 2025 and beyond. This season is a wash right now. We are in college football watching mode. I think we're paying attention to the University of Miami. I don't think it's too early to even discuss that either. I think a lot of people are paying attention to that. You should pay attention to Colorado. You can pay attention to anybody else you want. Jameis, it was a lot of fun last week. It was not much fun yesterday. And a guy who's 10 years in, you're not going to make that type of investment. You're just not. Unless he just goes out and is gangbusters throughout the rest of the season. And he's not going to be. I mean, he'll have another 3-touchdown game and they'll win a football game, guaranteed. He can be a lot of fun. Jameis can be a lot of fun as a quarterback. But yesterday was one of the most frustrating days ever. You're driving in, give up a sack. You're driving in, you have an interception. You're driving in, you get another interception. You're driving in, you have another. And it's like there were so many things that just lost you the football game based on your offensive performance there. Your defense just couldn't hold it for the entire time. You gave up too many big plays as well. You couldn't do it.
It's demoralizing because I think some fans got their hopes up because you beat Baltimore. That was a fun win. That was an awesome win, and you know, we cherished it. I think we all in the back of our minds knew that they weren't going to be able to make the run that Joe Flacco and the Browns did last year. Different situations, too early in the year for this to happen. I mean, this is so early. You didn't have JOK out there. I think we all understand how significant that was defensively. And you just wondered what the buy-in was going to be. And like the defense was making these huge, huge plays. They were living in the backfield of the Chargers yesterday. The entire first half, the problem was you just had high school level communication going on that you just gifted them touchdowns. I mean, they were gifted touchdowns. And so you knew that was going to suck the energy out of the building. Plus, you also knew Jameis just didn't have it. I mean, basically from, I think, Jameis's first throw, I think he threw a ground ball very early on. He threw one in the dirt very early, and it was like, oh, get ready. You got bad Jameis. And so that was the other reason why it was hard to truly buy in for the rest of the year, knowing that Jameis just, he is a hot and cold quarterback to the extreme. Mm-hmm. And you got cold the entire day.
It's frozen. 216-474-0092. If there's anything positive here, Jason Lloyd writes, quote, "It's time to blow up the Browns. Miserable season should lead to an active trade deadline." Jeffrey in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I thought the Browns was very entertaining yesterday. I thought they, you know, it's just
entertaining.
It's amazing how we expect them to wipe out all these lesser teams and lesser quarterbacks, and they go out there and do the exact opposite. You know,
Well, I don't think that they're even a lesser team. I mean, they're 5-3.
How not unprepared they are. You know, they seem really unprepared to win a football game.
I don't even know.
All these lesser teams just walking right over them.
I don't think the Chargers are a lesser team, Jeffrey. I think we're the lesser team. We went out and we lost, and we played poorly on offense, and we made too many mistakes defensively, and there were too many problems.
Well, I'm judging from last year. From last year, we was the more superior team.
Well, I mean, a lot of teams. Hell, it's November 4th right now, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for the call. We are the lesser team in this situation. I mean, last year is last year. We move on and move forward. And this year is a mess. And I can be as mad as I want to at Kevin Stefanski. I just don't know how much power he has over this situation right now, which makes me mad at the entire situation. I get upset with power structure because, again, a head coach who's done a good job. I know it's a subjective thing about the awards he's won, but a guy who's done as well as he's done to seemingly get power taken away from him, I think it bothers me. I think it should bother a lot of fans. Well, I don't know if this was all. And again, I wonder, what is the entire outlook of this season? You see, it's not an analytical argument. It's the argument of those who are really in charge. You know, was this, I've seen them go out and just kind of experiment for a year. I saw them do it in 2021 with Baker with the injured shoulder. I saw them do it with Jacoby Brissett and then Deshaun Watson for the 6 games. I mean, they have wasted a lot of their veterans' time and a lot of your time basically just experimenting with, well, maybe this work will work in football. Maybe that will work in football. It's like we are a lab for Paulie Podesta to just goof around with the game of football. Meanwhile, you have guys there that you have serious interest in as a fan who have just wasted another season. Myles Garrett, 2 playoff appearances in 8 years. 2 playoff appearances, 1 playoff win, 8 years, Hall of Famer. Joel Bitonio, borderline Hall of Famer. 2 playoff appearances, 1 win. Denzel Ward, great player. I know he's often injured. 2 playoff appearances, 1 win. Number 4 overall pick. Number 4 overall pick right there. You can go down the line. Look at this quote-unquote build and what it's got from us. 1 win, 2 playoff appearances in the playoffs. That's it. I mean, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. There are guys out there that are looked at as Cro-Magnon, the Neanderthal football guys that run other organizations that will go to the playoffs again this year. Tough, hard-nosed football guys who will go out there and they will win another division and they will go to the playoffs again this year. And here we are with all these different arguments and all these different ways of showing all these different things, and all it does is explain our failure. That's all it does, is trying to find an explanation and really an excuse for our failure over the past 8 years. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, it's going to lead to a total house cleaning, right? I mean, it's hard for me to fathom that there isn't a total house cleaning.
It's what you say. Well, I mean, if it continues this way, yeah, there's only one way you can go with it.
I mean, how is it not going to continue this way? How would they, especially now, they're trading guys. I mean, yeah. Za'Darius Smith is definitely gone. You're hearing David Njoku now as a rumored player could be dealt.
You either move on from Greg Newsom or you give him.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a contractor. What compensatory pick do you get from Greg Newsom? Is it worth the compensatory pick? Can you get a 4th? I don't know how they.
I mean, we've been talking about trading him.
Yeah,
since last year's deadline.
Well, in last year, I didn't want to move on from because you were a competitive football team at that point, and I didn't know if I could count on Denzel Ward. The difference is this year is that we're not a competitive football team. So yeah, go ahead and make your arguments of what we can get back for Greg Newsom. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a lot of these guys. There's 2 guys that I would have a conversation with before I moved on from Miles and Nick Chubb. I don't know what type of market there is for Nick Chubb, but I would have a conversation with him. Hey, I want to get into this before we get into Fix My Life at 7:45. My expectations were high for the Cavs last year. I thought that they could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. This is why I'm not too terribly surprised. I think it's hurt, not ruined. I think it's hurt the excitement that I've had with the Cavs so far this year. At 7-0, and I'm thinking, well, they're still in the same neighborhood. Boston 6-1. They're in the same neighborhood as Boston. I expected them to be close to the same neighborhood as Boston last year. Like Donovan Mitchell winning a game the way he did the other night was excellent. I'm trying to find the right emotion for it because I'm excited that they're 7-0. I love the way that they're playing, but my expectations were high last year. I don't want it to sour this year. Like you're on cloud nine. Your expectations were not very high going into last year, at least not as high as mine. You were thinking playoffs and that's it. I thought they could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. You adjust as the season goes on, even though they had a 17-1 stretch at one point. But Anthony, like that's where I'm like, well, 7-0, not where you're supposed to be 7-0, but boy, they're playing really well. I expected them to play.
Well,
they
look like the best team in the NBA so far this
year.
And I know,
and I want to give them credit for that.
I know. There's a different conversation between how teams look today in November and the teams that you are calculating are going to be, you know, competing for the NBA Finals. Everybody is going to pick Boston. I mean, they would have to have significant injuries for anybody to pick anybody but Boston to come out of the East. But this is incredible. It's impressive. This has been dominance. I thought the Cavs would come into the year with an advantage over at least in the regular season, over the Knicks and Philly, because those teams drastically reshaped their team.
Yeah.
You know, the whole goal with Philly is just to be healthy by the playoffs. They don't really care about the regular season. And the Knicks do care about the regular season, but you can see they are struggling with their new components and trying to shift as they want to be a team that has a higher ceiling. So I expected the Cavs to have the advantage over both of those teams early on because you just brought back the same roster for the most part. But I didn't expect them to look this dominant. This has been a joy to watch.
I want to know, did some people think that they were going to struggle because of the new head coach, like putting it together, like struggling to gel, like Cavs teams have in the past? I think it's a much bigger deal when you make a trade and you put new guys out there on the floor than when you change a head coach. Like, I think Kenny Atkinson's done a better job, obviously, running the offense. Their third quarter offense, I think, has been better.
And their defense is still there.
With the exception of a couple of games. Their defense has been there the entire season. But with the exception of a couple of games, their third quarter offense has been much better. I think that the pace has been much better. I think before they talked about pushing the pace, and there were times where they would stand there and dribble the air out of the ball. I think that they've got everybody involved so far this year. I do think it's underrated, and you have not made a very big deal of this, and you had every reason to. Dean Wade being in for Max Strus, I do think has been a big, and I don't know if it would have been this way had Max Strus not gotten hurt, so I don't want to be nasty about it with Max Strus. I think it's been a tremendous change for this team. I point to a lot of things that free up this offense, and maybe I'm making too big of a deal of it to you. You know, I've defended Max Strus a little bit because he'll go off and off 30-point nights here and there and things like that, and you get a lot of nasty tweets. But I think that Dean Wade being the type of size, the type of length that you want in a wing has opened up this offense more than what you would have got with Max Strus.
Yeah, Dean is not even shooting the ball all that well yet.
He's not, but he's still a threat that people have to take it, that people take into consideration.
Yeah, and you look.
I think a fan rolls their eyes at that, but I think NBA teams pay attention to that.
Kenny, they might be 7-0 with Max Strus too. I don't want to downplay, like,
okay,
make it seem like Max Strus isn't any good or anything like that. But this team, one of the disadvantages is having the two guard setup. Well, how do you, the two small guard setup? Well, how do you get past that? Well, you put a 6'9 player as the wing, and that changes everything. If he can, you know, just stay above water, well, he's done more than that. He has been excellent in the confines of their offense. You know, Mobley looks better, even though statistically it's not looking anything crazy better yet for Mobley. Like, statistically, it hasn't been a leap yet, but anybody who's watching has seen it with their eyes. They're like, oh, he's a different player. And Darius shooting 40% from three. He didn't have a good night. He got outplayed, you know, in that game against Milwaukee by Dame, but he still has been so much more confident, and he's not committing those egregious turnovers where anytime he gets into the paint, you're going, what was that decision? You're not seeing that so far this year.
216-474-0092. Let me get one more Browns thought in before we get back to Fix My Life coming up at 745, because it's a doozy. Richie in Cleveland. Richie, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you, Richie. Go ahead.
You know, I've been waiting for a Cleveland Browns Super Bowl championship since 1967, and I'm really getting tired of waiting for the day that's never going to come. You know, critical mass has set in. This team is lost for too long. Guys don't want to come here. We have to overpay guys. You know, it's time to blow it up. Tell D. Podesta and Barry to go back to selling used cars for a living. Talk to Denzel and Miles and Betonio and say, hey, would you guys be open to being traded to a contending team and give those guys a chance, you know, to play for a championship? And you say, well, you know, we'll draft a rookie quarterback and everything will be hunky-dory. What if he doesn't want to come here? If I was a top college quarterback prospect, I would not want to come to the Cleveland quarterback destroyer. You know what I mean? James, or what do you call it? Deshaun's going to be your quarterback for next year.
No, he can't do that.
You're going to either get some other guy who's at the end of the career or can't get a job someplace else, and he'll say, okay, I'll go to Cleveland and do my time in Cleveland Browns football jail, and maybe someday I can play for a contender. This team is going nowhere, and it's never going to go nowhere. And you can try and wish it to be different all you want. It's never going to change. It's never going to get better for the Browns. You can fool yourself every year till your heart's content. And how many years have you been doing this? You know? So I'm glad we got the Cavs and the Guardians, because the Browns, they just ain't never going to get it done, man. It ain't going to happen.
Ricky? Thank you for very, very much for making the call. There's nothing I can say to him to change that mind. And the sad thing is, I think a lot of people agree with it. Coming up
next. You think he wasn't watching that game yesterday?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.